My name is Rhiannon. I'm at the CSO at SOMA. Delighted to be the host today for the SOMA Talking Insights. I'm in Bangkok on the occasion of SOMA's 21st regional conference in Asia Pacific. And I have my guest, Ram. Ram, sorry, I always just call you Ram. I've known you a long. Can you say your full name to save me from trying to say it?
No, absolutely. My full name is Ramanathan Vaithilingam.
There you are.
And everybody calls me Ram.
Ram, exactly.
And I work in the CMI team at Unilever, based out of Singapore.
And of course, I've known you for quite some time. You're also our chair at the program committee last year. So really thank you again for that in Singapore. Delighted to see you here again. This time you're speaking, no? So tell me, what is the topic?
I think so. In 2020 was the last time I presented at the APAC conference. Mm-hmm. And the topic then was also around AI. Because uh-huh. I think 2015 onwards, we've had this resurgence of AI and kind of disrupting every industry mm-hmm. and so on. So the topic I had in 2020 was called Remaining Human in a World of AI. And I was looking at, again, this was a thought piece. Mm-hmm. I think looking at the kind of mindset and attitudes that we needed to bring
so that
we make AI deliver value. And there was a need for us to remain quintessentially human and what makes us human so that we get value out of AI. And I think now, today, you know, it's just 2 years after ChatGPT's launch, but it seems like a completely new world again. And disruption is again happening a lot more. And I think it's even more important now to kind of bring in that human element into AI. And so the paper today, this year as well, is looking at more coming from an angle of saying, how do we set AI up for success? Because AI is here. So it's not about avoiding it, but how do we make sure that we are setting it up for success so that it delivers all that it's supposed to deliver, and not just an efficiency narrative, but also effectiveness together. So both efficiency and effectiveness is unlocked with AI.
That's kind of super interesting, because I remember your presentation back then, and you were one of the few presentations, if I recall, at that event was talking AI. And now, of course, we see everyone. I've even been surprised at the SMR Congress just now in Athens, where the original outline wasn't talking about AI, but it managed to bring in the AI filter. So great, you're going to be there. I mean, what you've seen, this kind of evolution, you're talking about a lot of efficiency. So what are your kind of key points? And you're going to be helping us then, are you, on this kind of journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a very narrow focus of everything AI to do just with efficiency. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the appeal of it also lies mm-hmm. for senior management and organizations to invest in AI, because of it's a very tangible cost conversation. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's very tangible to measure a cost reduction or a time reduction. So faster, mm-hmm. cheaper is very, very tangible. And that makes it easy for people to justify investments in AI, which obviously then comes at the cost of reducing people. Mm-hmm. Because I think the value placed on human effort is reducing every year, right? Mm-hmm. So last year we had the strike in the Hollywood, right? The Hollywood writer's strike, because the Hollywood studio said, I now have ChatGPT to write a movie script. Why do I need a writer? And I think that is symptomatic of what's going to happen, whereby the more AI is thought to be able to do everything, mm-hmm. then the question always is, why do we need people? But I think it's a very short-term view, because there's only so much of efficiency you can unlock. I mean, at some point, the amount of cost and the time, you know, you can reduce it as much as you can. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, the question will come down to saying, is the outcome better? And I think that's where nobody's questioning it right now, saying, am I getting better outcomes that are then delivering better business value in market, either because I am delivering a better customer value, I'm delivering a better customer experience, I'm coming up with better insights that help me understand my consumer base better, therefore I'm designing better products that then deliver in market value, competitive mm-hmm. growth. I think that narrative is still not being discussed. And it's a very much about implementing AI for efficiency, but the effectiveness part of it is still a bit, needs to be talked about.
It's almost like we need a sort of measuring the impact of AI event, and everyone comes up with their measurements and tools.
Absolutely.
and see where. Something now you mentioned, of course, we talk about AI and it's thrown out there a lot. For you, you know, Unilever, are you working specifically on, you know, an area of AI, or you're doing, I mean, what for you is AI? Would it be synthetic data as well? Or
yeah. I mean, the area I work on is advertising and media research.
Mm-hmm.
So more like a center of expertise to understand how we should evolve our research processes around advertising and media measurement.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the AI conversations I have is around limited to that. There's obviously mm-hmm. a whole space around analytics, modeling. There's a whole space around LLMs and using like a ChatGPT, but an internal one to mm-hmm. generate insights, etc. But the focus area for me is more on advertising and media, and therefore there's a lot around synthetic prediction related data as well, which is now coming into the advertising space. And actually you're seeing a lot of tech companies actually now wanting a piece of the advertising pie. So the advertising agency pie. So they are also getting into the space of Gen AI created ads,
mm-hmm. Okay.
which then means, which then the question is, yes, it's faster and cheaper than a traditional creative agency. But then we want to try and understand, is it a better ad? Is it going to be resonating with people when they see it in the
clutter emotional of their face, connection?
Emotional connection. Does uh-huh. it catch attention? And uh-huh. does it hold attention because it's an insightful human story? I think that's where the challenge is still going to be, because yeah, I haven't seen anything that blows me away in terms of the storytelling that's coming out of AI.
Interesting. And I'm even thinking for those watching today, you know, if you have that information or insight, I'm sure you could reach out to Ram as well. I think, I mean, at Unilever, such a big company and so innovative. I mean, I imagine with all these pockets of AI and all these different areas, you're connecting anyway and kind of sharing your learnings, or is it specifically for you that you stay within that field of the advertising? I mean, we also talked earlier about domains and marketing, and maybe you want to talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah, because the way I see it is, I mean, obviously, you know, every company is investing in AI. And one of the charts I have in my presentation tomorrow is just looking at this trend of the percentage of companies who are talking about investing in AI in their shareholder meetings. So the number of every company is almost needing to have a plan on what they're going to do with AI.
Yeah.
And the fact that, and invariably it's about, I'm investing more on AI in the future. Now, the question then is, at some point they're going to be needing to see value coming out of that. And then where does that happen? The narrative, I think, is becoming a case where top down, most of these AI decisions are top down. So there's a senior management that says, okay, I'm going to invest more in AI, and they decide what to invest in. And then it's just landed it in the organization. The question is, how well does it land? And do people at all levels in the organization know what to do with it so that they are getting to better decisions and mm-hmm. better decision making? And one of the critical elements that I think nobody is discussing is domain expertise is going to be more important than AI expertise. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, I need to be if I'm a marketer, I need to have a domain expertise in co-marketing, which hasn't changed in thousands of years.
Somebody
had something to sell and marketing started then. You know, mm-hmm. so that core idea that I have something that somebody else might want and they need to know what I sell and why mine is better. That core marketing idea hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. But there is then a need to have that domain expertise that then allows me to look at AI in the right way and to bring in AI in areas that I know AI can help in.
It's going to add value,
but also be clear on where is it that humans are still needed. And therefore, you are able to kind of, you know, bridge that gap between, you know, where is it domain expertise. So domain expertise is always going to be always more important than AI expertise.
Interesting.
And I think we are reaching a stage now where AI expertise seems to be the end all. And people assume domain expertise exists. But as researchers and marketers go through their careers, what kind of experiences are they going through that helps them build the domain expertise to then look at AI in the right manner is a question. Because everyone is now using AI already to shortcut processes, which means you're not building your domain expertise. And I think it can only go so far before you start to hit roadblocks.
And Ram, I don't know if this is an unfair question, but do you see that different in Asia compared to other regions? And I say unfair because maybe you're focused, you know, really on Asia Pacific, so you cannot judge or...
No, I mean, I would say it's everywhere. And I think, I mean, that's where the whole AI, you know, bandwagon is running everywhere. And I think, I mean, if anything, I would say it's more of the younger generation of people who are just starting their careers, mm-hmm. people who have been a few years into their career, who might need to have that balance between making sure they develop domain expertise,
mm-hmm.
as well as being therefore being aware of how to use AI. Because majority of us are not going to be AI developers. I'm not an AI developer. I'm mm-hmm. a user. So for me to be to use it in the right way, I need to know what is it that I'm looking to achieve in my role, in my organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's better decision-making, getting to better outcomes so that mm-hmm. drives competitive growth, etc. Understanding consumer behavior, understanding how people make decisions, whatever that is. I need to have that expertise
mm-hmm.
that then allows me to look at AI tools to bring them in the right manner. Otherwise, if I'm only looking at the AI tool, then I'm swinging based on what the AI tool is able to do or what the AI developer is telling me without having that kind of a business lens or that expertise lens.
I suppose it's that age-old sort of question of what is the business challenge you need to solve before you bring that in. And when I imagine you're approached a lot by AI suppliers, you probably got an inbox full every day. I mean, how are you doing that? Have you got a filter? Are you thinking, well, you know, these are my challenges? How are you working with that?
Absolutely. So even the paper in 2020 I wrote was because of this challenge that
mm-hmm.
there were so many new tools coming into the research mm-hmm. space, and everybody was talking about having something to do with AI in their methodology. And as a person who's looking to evaluate them to see, you know, how can I bring them into the system so that they add value to the Unilever mm-hmm. business, I honestly was struggling.
I can imagine
to look for a framework, and that's where I was always looking at saying, I think we need to move the narrative, and this is again one of the points I'm talking tomorrow, which is I think we need to move the narrative away from the tools to the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to be clear on what decisions I'm looking to drive
mm-hmm.
and also what matters and why. And so not just what matters only, but also what matters and why.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, how can I then enable a better decision making? That is my end goal. The tool is not the end goal.
No.
The tool is a means to that end. But I think also often we are so fixated on just the tool that we forget that the tool is just a means, and therefore we forget the decision that we're looking to make. There's something else which I was, you know, was kind of reading a while back, and which again is there in my talk tomorrow, is this whole idea of a black box. An organization can be a black box. You know, a research tool can be a black box. An mm-hmm. AI tool can be a black box. Now, what happens in a black box is that we don't know what's happening in the system, because it's a black box. I can only see the input and I can see the output coming mm-hmm. out. And that's what's happening with all the AI tools. Even the developers of ChatGPT don't know how ChatGPT works. They see is the prompt and they see the output. And what happens when we start using more and more black boxes, there's a reduction in human accountability. So when my organization tells me, this is new AI tool, everybody has to use it, what do I do as an employee? I take it and I start using it. But I don't hold myself accountable for what that AI is doing, because it's not my decision anymore. And I think that human accountability reduction is what is resulting in less optimal business outcomes, because nobody can be faulted for using the tool and what the tool is telling them, right? So the mm-hmm. output from the tool, you can just go ahead. But is that right? And is there a need to still think about how you bring that tool in? Is where human accountability needs to come in. And I think the more black box systems happen, lesser is the human accountability in the narrative. So people, for example, I have, you know, a project where, you know, I start early stage idea, then there's a consumer facing product which we test, then I have an actual product which we test, then there's a communication to launch it which we test. Every stage I've tested and I've got green results, which is saying, yeah, it's good to go. But in market, the project was not successful. And I think it's also because of each of those black boxes. And I said, yeah, I got a green here, I can go ahead. I got a green here, I can go ahead. But I wasn't looking at the project holistically. And I wasn't looking at it to say, does all of it add up together to help me get to a better outcome in market?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think human accountability goes down, because I'm using what I've been told to use, but I'm not taking ownership of that decision. I've handed over the ownership to the AI. And that's where the business outcomes, I think, are not positive.
So tomorrow, obviously, it's not to be missed when you're presenting. I mean, for those who don't join you tomorrow or haven't seen it, you know, in the live stream, or, of course, the presentation will also be available for S1 members to see in Anna. But, you know, what would be the key one message then that you would, you know, talk to announce, whether you're agency or AI developer or a brand, you know, what would be the one kind of takeaway or one point that...
I mean, the point, I think, again, like we said, you know, don't focus on the tool, focus on the decision.
Yeah.
But I think there was one other quote which I thought really resonates with me, which is like that we have to approach AI in a manner that it better helps us understand what makes us human. That has to be the approach we take to AI as to how AI augments us, mm-hmm. or how AI can help us fix things that we are not good at. But there's still a need, the fact that we still play the central role. So mm-hmm. so the approach to AI has to always be in a manner that helps us understand better on what makes us human.
And I hope all of you who are listening today, that resonates with you. Also, the top line managers who are also making these decisions and say, implement AI, hopefully they're starting to question how and in what way. And Ram, I'd like to thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Your time. Really appreciate it. Great to see you. I'm so happy you pronounced your full name, because after all these years, I just still call you Ram. So, and I'm wonderful.
Thank you
so much. Thanks everybody for joining. If you've got questions, of course, you can always reach out to Ram if you have thoughts to build on that.